and I want to read from verse number 3 up to verse number 9, and then we'll pick up our message in verse number 9, and we'll pause and pray after we get there. The scripture says in 2 Peter 1 in verse number 3 that he's talking about our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. His divine power has given us, each and every person who believes the gospel, everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So that's through the gospel being made known, who called us by his own glory and goodness. So he did not call us because of our goodness or our glory. It was his own. So in essence, it was God looked at himself and had mercy upon us in Christ Jesus. Verse 4 says that by this own glory and his goodness, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, these promises, the gospel, you may share or be a partaker in the divine nature. That's the new nature that saves us from sin's dominion. In order to be saved from sin, three things must happen. I have to be saved from sin's penalty that happened at the cross. I have to be saved from sin's power. That's what happens as you hear the gospel in regeneration. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and puts it in your heart with belief of the truth included, and the fruit it bears is love. It's a new nature. I cannot love or serve or change in my old nature in a way that will please God. So he gives me a brand new heart, a brand new nature that is pleasing unto him at all times. And this new nature, it never sins. That which is born of God cannot sin. It's the flesh that sins. But as the new nature is strengthened by the gospel through knowledge, it gets the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. So we are always, relying on God. And the more I get that into my soul, is the more I get power from God. And so when COVID first came, I was in Nigeria. And I got sick, actually, from something else. And so I could not move. I could not eat. Had to go to the hospital. But the Lord, he put me on my back for just about a week for a reason, to begin to teach me of my weakness. I couldn't go preach. I wasn't even interested in opening up my Bible. I couldn't. And so he just showed me my failures, my weakness, my inability, my faults, and his grace. That in this place of no condemnation in Christ. And even though I have no ability to be faithful myself, he would give it by his grace. So all the strength that me and you need, it's not playing a hypocrite like I can do this. I cannot. It is leaning upon his strength until we get that supernatural power. And then we can do anything by faith in his word. And that's what preaching is, right? It is faith in His Word. It's opening His Word and allowing God to speak unto His people. It's the Word of God, and the power of the Spirit is the star of the show. I don't have anything extra to add, just what does it say, and make that known unto the people. But he says, verse 4, that by these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that's in this world because of evil desires. Verse 5, and for this very reason, because there are evil desires in this world, because you have escaped this corruption, because you have a brand new nature, because you have these exceedingly great and precious promises, make every effort, that's going to be the title today, to supplement your faith with goodness. Add unto that great relationship you have with Christ by faith alone. You are accepted by God by faith alone. But it's not to be alone. Add to it. You see? My growth in grace is not my standing in the sight of God. If you have a small son and you have a big, tall son, they're both your son. Right? And even when your son messes up, or daughter, he's still your child. And so you come in, you help him, you give some discipline, you give wisdom, you help him to change his ways. And so Almighty God has not condemned us in Christ. He paid for our sin debt himself. But he causes us to grow in grace by giving us this commandment and this word to begin to work in our hearts and to draw us unto himself. For faith, it changes people as we add unto our faith. It's kind of like what Brother Larry likes to quote about. What was the brother's name who said, "Give me that mountain"? Was that Caleb? That's my mountain. It was promised. Now give me. Well, that's what me and you do with our character, our Christian behavior. My growth, my increase, my holiness, my love is to grow and increase. And it's a promise from God that he's going to do this for me and you. And so we take the promise, we take the commandment, and we bring these into the presence of God, ask and expect him to do for us because he's our beloved. And so make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. What's faith if it has no goodness, if it has no moral virtue, if it has no change of character, if it has no going out from the old ways into the new ways? And then goodness with knowledge. You have to know the gospel in its depths. And then knowledge with self-control, to control yourself. Self-control with endurance. Keep going. As our brother Larry was out here talking about, he's still in the game. He's still pushing. And some of you here, how I know his mother, have been pushing for a long time. Keep faithfully saying, add this endurance, this ability to persevere hardship. I made it. But with joy. Yes, sir. I got God on my side through every thick and every circumstance, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there is nothing that comes to make us fear as if God is not with us. So endurance, keep going. And endurance with actual godliness with purity, with holiness, and then godliness with brotherly affection is to love among the members of the church and of the body of Christ. And then brotherly affection, don't just stop there, but add unto that love. Grow until you love your enemy and the people who hate you and the people who mistreat you, and you want everybody to know the gospel of Christ. It is love leading us, because men and women are going to hell. And as we see God in His glory, having mercy upon our soul, and love stirs up in our heart, there is a desire to go out and to minister the gospel, not because I'm going to get something out of it extra. Me and you, brother, are complete in Christ. We are already at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, at the highest place in the heavens. It will not ever be anybody in eternity higher than us in Christ Jesus. He's our head. But we do go out to help people who are straggling at the edge of the cliff of hell, to pull them back from destruction. I was in Nigeria, and I don't place any confidence in dreams as if I heard from God. I have my Bible, I have the sealed word. But a dream can actually teach you something. And so I was very tempted. Well, I had an opportunity to make some big money. The only problem was it was going to take my time away from the gospel. And I was really struggling with, am I going to do this? Am I going to put the gospel on the side? Am I going to make this money? Am I going to forsake my ministry or only do it outwardly instead of in my heart? But I had a dream as I was really struggling with this for weeks. And in this dream, the wrath of God was coming. And these poor sinners were going to hell. And in my sleep, just unconsciously, I wanted to stand in the middle and plead with God, spare their souls. I'm out in Nigeria. You don't have all of the requirements on sound. I can have my, you know, speaker anytime, anywhere, any day in the South, right? But this gospel is not just, you know, it's the good news. It's the necessary news. Necessary. And when you and I see these sinners going to hell, love compels us. And that's something that I need to work on continually still. To forgive people. And to go back with that person who hurt you and to minister unto them the gospel. Even if you don't say it with your mouth, it's in your attitude. It's in your willingness. It's in your heart being open unto them. It's in prayer being made for them in secret. That's love. For if these qualities are yours, if they are in you and are what? Increasing. If you're growing, if you're not just standing still, they will keep you from being idle or useless, from wasting your life, or unfruit-bearing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the last thing I want to happen unto me and you. That's something to fear. That you and I would hear the gospel and it would be no change. It would be no difference. And when I was, this was a few years ago, just before I hooked up with you, Al, after I had quit ministry, and I'm thinking about quitting Christ. I want to go have some fun and be happy. One thing that scared me was the master told this parable of the ruler of the house. And he went on a long journey. And his servant began to beat his fellow servants and to drink with the drunken. And I beat my fellow servant if I know the gospel and hell is coming and I don't tell them. I'm the cruelest man on earth. And to drink with the drunken is to just live, Mrs. Austin, for this world. Is, hey, I got the gospel. Don't nobody else matter. I'm going to heaven as to when I die. Oh, no, you're not. That's being unfruitful. And so it really caused me to change and to realize I had to get my act together. And you know what I did? The only thing I could do, can do, is I fell down and helped a sinner. He said, Lord, have mercy on me to live that others know Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he did it with power and with such joy. I was not expecting a happy life. I was just expecting to make it until I got into heaven. But the joy that comes from communion with God and the forgiveness of sins, the power of the Holy Ghost to subdue your nature, the lust you hate so much, to subdue it by the power of the Holy Ghost and walk uprightly. Like you never knew you could. That's the gospel. That's what God does for helpless sinners who come to Him in Christ. So if these things are increasing, they will keep you from being idle or useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just pray briefly, and we'll look at verse number 9 to verse number 15. And I'll be as brief as I possibly can. Our Father, we thank you for having us here and for the word that you've given thus far and for the ears that you have here to hear. We thank you for the great work that is being done through Larry by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
That it is you who gets all the glory.
Yes, Lord.
That these people were chosen by you. And our good works were ordained by God.
Yeah.
So everything that we do, you told us that we would do from all of eternity. And you cause us to do it irresistibly. And so we ask you, Father, to irresistibly draw sinners into yourself. Open their eyes, the eyes of the people on the video or who hear the audio. Open the eyes of the brethren here to know our inheritance even more richly, even more fully, and give us confidence in the word of Christ and in his spirit. And what you say, you are able to make us do for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father. Help us to live this Christian life with joy, and forgive us of our sins for his name's sake. Amen. And so, verse number 9, is everyone following me so far? Am I going to different places that I have to ask? Because even though I speak English and the people in Nigeria speak English, often it ain't the same English. So I have to ask if they can understand. I understand them, but they have a hard time with me. So, verse number 9. And if there's anything that isn't clear, you let me know. The person who lacks these things, this growth in grace, this change from knowledge into action, this action that grows, that edifies God's people, this selfless life that is lived to serve God. And so once again, we're not growing in order to be more approved of. I was as approved of God the moment I first believed as I will ever be in eternity. Because our approval is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith in him. we are accepted, highly favored in the beloved. It is gospel. It is good news. But the person who lacks this growth in grace, lacks these things, is blind. He cannot see, and he is short-sighted. And here's what he can't see. He's forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. That person who says, I'm saved by grace, so I don't have to grow, he doesn't really understand as to why he was saved by grace. The Almighty God did not save you and I to leave us in bondage, enslaved unto our sin. He did not merely justify us in the sight of God as forgiveness, but he cleansed us too. He took away our sin at the cross. That's total, that's done. And then he sends the power of the Holy Ghost with the word to subdue and put sin down. And that's our business now until the third aspect of salvation is realized and we enter glory. To sin no more. And if you and I are the children of God, to sin no more, to one day be in the presence, in the face of God, have no sin, no ability to sin, no desire for sin, no possibility, and to behold his face and his love forever and be filled with a joy that is unimaginable at all times for all eternity. That's gospel. So if you and I aren't growing, aren't pursuing it with diligence, it's really telling me I've forgotten the reason he saved my soul. He told that leper, I will be you clean. And the leper was cleansed. That's what he does unto us by the gospel. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, and he's talking unto the sisters too, make every effort. You see that there in your Bible or on your piece of paper? Is that gospel? Is it gospel to make every effort, or is that hard work and burden? It's gospel because it is by the promises of God. It's by faith. It's not you and I on our own. It's not a strength that we have. We are walking in the joy and in the power of the Lord, and we are coming back to him as we see our sins. Let me ask a question. How many of you or us are tired of going unto the Lord with your sin? How many of us are tired, are really fed up about going back unto the Lord about the same old thing again? I thought I had a problem with it no more, and it came back and it got me. That's me too. But is the Lord tired of us coming? Has the blood of Christ prevailed, or has it lost its power? And so my and your relationship with God entirely is based on the blood of his son. That's why our acceptance is true and permanent and real, even though we fall down and fail. Is that the truth? Are you and I permanently accepted by God? That's the truth of the gospel. So make every effort by the gospel, by telling God about your sin through Christ, by drawing near unto him again by the precious blood, by relying upon the Holy Spirit, by the reading and the hearing of the word, by prayer, by and the diligence of encouraging others and being encouraged. There is something that happens special in the community of the believers as I'm encouraged to walk forward and be more faithful, as I'm strengthened by the faithfulness of my brethren and the ability to use our gifts. I'm to look at the brother and the work here and be encouraged to keep going. Right? So here's what he said. Make every effort to confirm your calling unto God, that he called you by the gospel. Now, there are many called but few chosen, but this particular call is an effectual. It gets the job done. This is irresistible grace. This is not, oh, pretty please, if you let me save you. This is, come here, boy. I am saving you, for I am your God, and in the covenant, I've chosen you already. It's the master has great need of you. That's why he went, those two disciples went. They took that colt and they untied it. And if the master asks a question, say that the Lord Jesus has need of it. That's why he loosed us from sin and the bondage of Satan. So make that calling. Make sure God's called you to Christ through the gospel. So how do you know? Do you believe? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins and they're gone? That's the rubber in the road. The guilty conscience is cleansed by the blood. I'm set free of the bondage of condemnation. Do you believe that God will give you power over your sin? I can't control my sin, but God can. And that's what we rely on all day long. God, God. And the more we rely on him, the greater we grow. And your election, make sure that you've been called and elected. What does election mean? It means God chose you. You and I, we did not choose him. He chose us. And he brought us to himself. Now, how do I know if I've been chosen? I believe the gospel. It's the gospel said, whosoever believes has eternal life. That means you were chosen by God from before time began. You hear his voice in the gospel. You come. You don't have to worry and say, I don't know if I'm elect. Just come to Christ. You are. He that believes has everlasting life. Because if you do these things, if you make every effort, if you give your life to this business of the gospel, if you're not just playing games, if you come down honestly with God and say, I'm a sinner, help me by your mercy to be holy, you'll never stumble. The Almighty God is telling us a sure way to heaven. I don't have to worry. I don't have to doubt. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to roll the dice. Not on my soul. I can know by an absolute fact because I trust in Jesus Christ with power. I trust him to cleanse my conscience when I'm guilty. I trust him to give me strength when I'm unable. That means you are elect of God. Make sure your gospel brings fruit. Don't give up. Don't become lazy and say, well, I ain't got to serve. I'm saved by grace. But don't condemn yourself for your failures. Keep going back to Christ and keep going. No way that we could be in ministry if we didn't get up after failures plenty of times. That's right. But the blood is enough. For in this way, there's only one way now. By making your calling and election sure. There's no other way. Entry into the eternal kingdom, that's what counts, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we were talking about earlier, his eternal kingdom in heaven. It will be richly supplied unto you. He's going to open up heaven's door and say, well, have you been to a place and you was trying to get in, or you had to look inside at the party and the line was long, or the man said, it's enough people here already, or you're not on the list and you stand outside, you look stupid, you feel stupid. I can't get in. But what the Almighty God is saying is that when heaven comes for you and me, he's going to open the door and say, welcome. Well done, my son, my daughter. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the assurance and the boldness of the gospel that we have on earth. I know where I'm going, Al. Is you can't go up into the north of Nigeria and preach in a place that you might die if you're not confident in God to take you through death. It's been said, if you're scared to die, you can't live. Not for Christ, you can't. And he answers that fear of death. And before I moved, Al, I used to pray on my knees, make me willing to die. And so now when you get there, brother, hey, I got a gospel to share. My life is not my own, to him we belong. That's the song, ain't it? I give myself to you. The whole, even my life, my last breath. And you're going to see what Brother Peter says here about himself all the way until the finish line. Verse number 12. Therefore, Peter says, since these things are so important, it's an everlasting kingdom. It's heaven or hell to be gained. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things. I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm not going to change my message. I'm not going to slow down. Even though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Let me ask you a question. Do you know these things? I know the food is here. If we bring out outside it could be the food or medicine. If you bring it out in Africa, in Nigeria, people will come. It's the Muslims in the north who will kill you if they catch you preaching on the street. They will gather by the thousand and hear you preach if you're passing out medicine. And so he is saying, but it's not just if all they get is medicine, they die in their sin. And so this brother Peter is saying, do you know the truth? Are you really grounded? He's saying, you already know these things, and I'm just here to remind you. Am I reminding you of what you already know? Or are you learning it brand new? Either way, I don't care. If you know it, let's grow in it. If it's the first time you've ever heard it, let's take it now while we can. This is eternal life. This is the message. So verse number 13, I consider it right, as long as I'm in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder. Now, as I was thinking about Peter, and so we're only going to work down to verse number 15. But as I was thinking about Peter, this is 2 Peter. And he's an old man. And he's fixing to tell us how he's going to die, as the Lord Jesus Christ told him. And I would think, or maybe you would think, that Peter,
after all these years, Larry, of serving Christ, all the sermons he's preached, all the work he's done, you think that Peter would kick up his legs and say, I retire. I've done enough. I served enough. I'm going to leave it now unto the young folks, and I'm going to take it easy with my life. But what Peter is saying is, I'm going to do this until they kill me.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Look what the text says. Verse 14. Knowing that I will soon lay aside my tent, I'm going to be crucified. It happened to be upside down, we're told, as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Now, I'm just going to read you this quickly in the book of John, chapter number 20, verse number 18, 19. This is when our Lord Jesus told Peter how he would die. And look what Christ said. And look what Peter is saying. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 21, verse 18, 19, I assure you, when you were young, and he's talking under Peter, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. You were just a free man. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. It's to die a horrible death. He said this to signify by what kind of death, look what the scripture says, he, Peter, would glorify God. God has made all things for himself, even us, for his own glory. Everything's about the glory of God. I can hear Miss Austin. I ain't heard you in 2 years, but it's all coming back. As the preaching coming, as the amen's coming. With an understanding, Larry.
That's right.
He said this to signify by what kind of death he would glorify God. And after this, he told him, follow me. He's not saying, oh, Peter, I want it easy on you. I don't want you to get hurt and have no problems. He's saying, follow me in the way I went. He went unto the cross boldly. He died a substitute. And we lay down our life. We died to give them the gospel. Because it's love motivated. It's the mission of God. If there was some other way to be happy, I might try it. But this is it. Follow me. Peter said, make every effort.
Yes, sir.
All diligence. So, he kept going, Larry, until the end. That pretty much proves unto me I don't have a retirement day. It's an expiration day, but there's no retirement day. Even on our deathbed, prayer, encouragement. How we die might just minister. And he may give me and you painful cancer. Something's wrong with my stomach months. I have to go see the doctor. I don't know if it's cancer. I don't care.
Right.
Don't cry for me. Cry for those who never heard the gospel. I'm ready. But I don't want a painful cancer. But if he gives it to me unto the glory of God, I can take it. I can bear it unto the glory of God by following him in the gospel. His promises are true no matter what. Unshakable. And that's what keeps us steady, sister. He never changes. I don't care about COVID. He never changes. He gonna save his elect.
That's right.
Yeah.
They almost kicked me out of Nigeria. But I realized he would still save the elect.
That's right. That's right.
So it didn't matter as to where God would have me go.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
He's still doing his business. And me and you are involved in whatever way he gives us. Because this is our life business, is to be holy in our character so that we can minister the gospel. It doesn't have anything to do with being seen as a holy man.
Right.
That's not my interest.
Right.
That you see me as pious. I want you to see Jesus Christ. But our character is to be exemplary as to not offend our message. It's been said a hypocrite. If a hypocrite
if a hypocrite says the truth, it's still true. But because of his hypocrisy, you might not believe it. And so I want to be an example and a truth teller. In boldness, in the power of the Spirit, in love, in humility, in gentleness. Just like Peter and Paul was to you and me. But verse number 15, and I'm done. As the Lord has already told Peter as to how he was going to die. And Peter says, I'm willing. I'm not going to go retire. I'm not going to go and hide. I'm not going to take my foot off the gas. I'm going to go all the way out as an old man being carried unto the cross for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And that's how me and you are to fulfill our ministry unto the death. There is no retirement from serving Christ in the gospel. Verse number 15. And I will also, this is what Peter says, this preacher of the gospel, the great man, I will also make every effort. I'm going to give my life to this business. This will be the most important thing of my life. And when I find myself cold, I'm going to come back unto God to get back in the game. Did you ever play sports? Did you ever get benched? Oh, I got benched. I've been benched. I've been thrown off the team. But I was able to come back and get back in the game and learn my lesson.
Yes, sir.
And so when I realize I'm stranded, I'm far away, Lord, help me get back in the game and make every effort.
Yeah.
Don't let wife, children, house, car, money, job, opportunity take away my fire and my fervency of my Christianity. Make that everything unto me and you. It is everything. That having made this every effort, that you may be able to recall these things at any time, to keep these things in your memory, even if Larry's gone, even if you must move away. And truthfully, all throughout the day, he will keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on him. That's the gospel, but it's the whole gospel. It's the forgiveness and the cleansing. It's the being saved by faith and the every effort. It's both. That's the perfect peace. It's not just a part of the gospel. If you want to be miserable, just try to hold on to forgiveness and forget about holiness. You'll be a miserable person. He will oppress you in your country. But if you want to live unto his glory, he will give you forgiveness and cleansing. And when you fall, he'll pick you up again because you're living for him. If we're trying to be holy, to be Mr. Big Shot, he will oppress us. It's not by faith in Christ. It's for our own glory. So make every effort that you may be able to recall these things at any time, Peter says, after my departure. And so me and you, Larry, they're in the gang. We got these gifts. We got to use them to serve his people and remind them over and over, live a holy life by grace. Form churches. Have the Lord's Supper. Have elders. Have deacons. Ordain elders in every church. Have order. And then you serve your food. You help the people. And you meet outdoors. When COVID came, you just kept doing that's what you're doing. Let's make every effort. Let's be very diligent. And if you preach the gospel, let's do this until we die. And whatever gift you've got from God, use it until the finish line.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, man. Love you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
What a blessing to hear God's word proclaimed to us. Make every effort, right? Having God laid his hands on us, let us run the race that is now set before us with our eyes fixed upon Christ. As we get ready to come to the table,